Hey, welcome to Coin Talk. I'm Aaron Lammer. My co-host is Jay Kang. We are both back from vacation, refreshed. The market appears to have refreshed a little bit yesterday. Today is Wednesday. I'm taping this. We actually taped the show a couple days ago before the good news. But if you hear a jazzy spring in my step, that is a nice little 10% plus bounce. On this show, we talked about Russia's Bitcoin payments for various hacking activities and why they didn't just use Monero. We talked about the new coins that are being explored to be added to Coinbase. Those include ZRX, which we've talked about on the show, Zcash, which we've talked about on the show, and also Cardano, which I don't really understand, Stellar Lumens, which I'm not terribly interested in, and Basic Attention Token. So lots of good stuff to talk about there. And finally, Augur, the prediction market that noted gambling degenerate Jay Kang has been very excited about, launched. We looked at some of the more lopsided bets there and decided whether we wanted to get in on the action. We're brought to you in partnership with Medium. I'm personally taking some time off of Twitter, particularly crypto Twitter, and I still want to know what's going on. So I go to me.dm/crypto. That's a landing page for all of Medium's writing about crypto. Really recommend that. You can always find us at medium.com/cointalk. Send us an email, hi@cointalk.show. All right, here's the show.
This episode of Coin Talk was taped Sunday, July 15th at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Bitcoin price index was $6,366.
Hello, Jay.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. I just returned from the beach in your home state, North Carolina.
What?
Beautiful state.
What beach are you at, North Carolina?
Figure Eight Island.
That sounds... is that in the Outer Banks somewhere?
It's right outside of Wilmington, North Carolina. I believe Michael Jordan has a house. Here are two people who have houses, supposedly, or at some point had supposed houses on Figure Eight Island. This is maybe like the weirdest Venn diagram possible. Michael Jordan and John Edwards.
Ah, two of North Carolina's finest.
Only in North Carolina.
Well, Michael Jordan's from Wilmington, so that makes sense.
Exactly. And this is the like rich people island right off of Wilmington. It's like a gated island. I think I'm the only Jew who's ever been on it.
Did you get on because of your Bitcoin holdings?
What's that? No. I got on thanks to my Christian in-laws. Pretty big week in crypto news since we last spoke. Felt like something popped up almost every day that I wanted to talk to you about, although none of those things popping up were the price of Bitcoin.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask you, how do you get your Bitcoin news now? Because like I've started to detox off of news
You're
addiction
off Twitter.
Stuff. Yeah, and so most of the news I get is through push alerts from random sites that I signed up for push alerts or by accident mostly. And I will say that if you intake Bitcoin news that way, all the news is bad. There's like no good news that way.
I don't know how it comes to me. And we've got a few telegrams going that I'm in and you're in with a few people, and people post links on there. And sometimes I feel like actually, like, I don't like the crypto Twitter, but I'll use even in the Blockfolio app. It's just got a little news feed and it's got a lot of bullshit on it. But usually if I scan through it, I will eventually see the thing that interests me.
Oh, speaking of Blockfolio, some good news from crypto was the guy who won the World Series of Poker last night, who I believe is Korean. Korean-American.
Oh, wow.
I looked at his Twitter feed, and it's unsurprisingly a lot of crypto, but he was wearing a Blockfolio patch on one of the days, and then he like mysteriously took it off in the middle of the day
Jay,
of play.
Jay, as in a Korean-American celebrity, one of the most notable Korean-Americans around, do you feel like this guy knows who you are?
There's no way he knows who I am, but he actually knows Doug Kim, friend of the podcast.
Next best thing. Now, Doug, we were on Telegram with Doug. Doug was at the World Series of Poker. I think he had already crapped out by the time I talked to him.
Yeah.
But how deep did our friend Doug get?
Well, for those who don't know, Doug in 2006, which was the biggest year, I think, of entrants forever. Maybe it was 2008. Whatever the year was where they had the most entrants, Doug came in sixth, I think, or seventh, and won over $2 million. And so that started his poker and crypto journey.
Yeah.
So he plays every year now, and he kind of hates poker, which is, you know, reasonable. He also seems to hate crypto.
Par for the course.
Which is also
par for the course. I think that the love-hate story of poker should be instructional to followers of crypto, in that something that draws people in and is wildly addictive doesn't necessarily stay in their heart forever.
Yeah, and also, like, if you do really well and make a lot of money in the first month, it certainly does not mean that you will continue to do that forever. So I think Doug, who is a good poker player and who has been able to continue to make a living doing, I think he crapped out on the third day or something like that, which is pretty good. But
that's pretty good. Yeah, I'd be very happy with that result.
I think I would rather either make the money or lose on the second hand.
I gotcha.
3 days of playing poker for nothing sounds actually horrible to me. But, you know, I bet it's
okay,
exciting.
Well, we got to get Doug back on the show because I want to take the temperature of the crypto talk at the World Series of Poker. Definitely seeing some patches, some crypto hats on display over there. And I wonder what the sentiment in the room is about, you know, the next year in Bitcoin.
Well, one of the announcers for World Series Poker said that part of the reason that she thought that there were so many entrants this year, because there were a ton of entrants, was because crypto was down and that people might be interested in poker again.
Yeah, guys are trying to win back their tax burden.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, this crypto thing really didn't work out for me now that it's crashed down. I bought too much at 16,000, so I am going to have to win the World Series of Poker.
If there's one thing that I know about degenerates, it's that even if you win a major tournament and you win that in Bitcoin and Bitcoin goes 20x, at that point when Bitcoin goes back to 10x, you've probably over leveraged and are in some sort of horrendous tax crunch or have bought some kind of a boat. There's just no way it ends well.
Yeah,
it's like winning the lottery.
What you just described is basically breaking even. Like, that's the break even point. Anything else and you're down over a lifetime if that happens to you. So, all right. So, what are we talking about this week? There was a lot of
news. I feel like the news that like reached deep enough that it was like in the beach house dinner conversations was the revelations, the indictments of the 12 Russians associated with the hacking of the Hillary Clinton campaign. And disclosures that certain of the activities were paid for with Bitcoin.
Yeah. Not surprising, by the way.
Well, I think the main thing that I heard sort of, and this echoed my thoughts, is the surprising part is not the crypto payment, it's the Bitcoin payment. We were expecting that that Russian operatives would have already made the jump to Monero or Zcash.
Well, yeah, I do. It does. I can't tell if it's good or bad for privacy coins, given that people don't use them or don't seem to really use them for these types of transactions. Does it mean that like they don't work, or does it just mean that Russian operatives don't really know that there are better options and they don't know?
I read it more as like, you know, sometimes you'll see someone who's like a government. Like officially, you'll see someone in the FBI with just like a really clunky, they're like on a BlackBerry or like a Windows phone or something. I don't necessarily think it's because they think Zcash or Monero didn't work. Remember, we're not talking about today. We're talking about payments that were made during the presidential campaign.
In 2016,
Couple years ago. Did you know about Zcash or Monero a couple of years ago?
No. And
apparently, neither did the Russian spying community.
And at that time, I don't think that it was as obvious how transparent a Bitcoin transaction is. So, yeah, I think that that it probably, I don't know, like, what about this story was the most interesting to you? Because I do agree with you that it was the biggest story of the week in crypto, but I don't know really how to take it. Because, like, you know, we always try and process things. Is this good or bad for Bitcoin? I can't tell which one it is.
Well, it's kind of a weird one because what they were doing was not particularly nefarious. Like, I mean, hacking a presidential campaign is nefarious,
yeah,
but, you know, taking out, registering a few websites and taking out a VPN. These are the kinds of things you do, like if you want to download Game of Thrones via BitTorrent and not get caught. Like, you buy a VPN.
Sure.
And if you want to put up a website that's like waitwaitdonttellmesucks.com and you don't want it to be traced back to you, maybe you like, you know, you need to register a website anonymously. Certainly Bitcoin is useful in these kind of transactions, but it's not really a particularly big deal. You could borrow a VPN from someone or, you know, steal a VPN registration from someone. Most of this stuff is like fairly pedestrian that they were doing with Bitcoin. It's not like they were buying like black market uranium with it. They were registering a website called DCLeaks.com.
Yeah, and I don't really quite understand how, like, if it was not a large amount of money. It was like $95,000 that were laundered. The indictment says, specifically, the defendants, quote, conspired to launder the equivalent of $95,000 through a web of transactions structured to capitalize on the perceived anonymity of cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin. That could be, that could describe 95% of Bitcoin users. I guess I'm just not, like, I'm not either shocked nor too concerned about this. You and I being Bitcoin moderates who do believe in Bitcoin, like, I don't quite understand why this is some sort of terrible news.
Well, okay, so there's a sinister tone to the New York Times story. I'm going to read a quote from it. In early 2016, Russian intelligence officers obtained a new pool of the virtual currency Bitcoin. They quickly put the digital money to work. So when they say they obtained a new pool of it, that just means they bought some Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't, like, cook this up in, like, a secret lab.
Yeah, there is no... That does make it seem kind of nefarious. Like, it seems like somebody was trying to release something.
Maybe they already had the Bitcoin. I mean, when they said what they did with the Bitcoin, I was like, that whole thing would cost, like, one Bitcoin. I mean, now it would. I guess in 2016, we're talking about, like, Bitcoin under $1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't...
Anyway, I agree with you. There's nothing super notable about this story. If I were to draw anything that's memorable about this to me, it's that these people were actually caught through Bitcoin. This was another example of Bitcoin being a terrible criminal currency in which the fundamental evidence that these people were involved in the hacking of the Hillary Clinton campaign is the Bitcoin immutable blockchain evidence.
Yeah.
That they probably didn't know about in 2016. And now they're like, oh, I wish I had read up more on how the blockchain works.
It's another feather in the cap for the hot take out there that Bitcoin is a honeypot that was created by the government to entrap people on the dark web.
I don't think that is true, but I do find the argument ultimately convincing that the truly libertarian privacy enthusiasts will not be able to support Bitcoin in the long run unless it somehow remedies its anonymity issues.
Yeah, and that's something that Saifedean and also Jameson Lopp talked to us about, which is that at some point they will probably be able to put a privacy layer on it, but at that point you're just like, well, there's privacy coins, you know?
So I think we both agree that this isn't a story that particularly shifted the markets or public perception. I mean, except maybe it's just another, like, terrible mainstream Bitcoin story.
Yeah. Yeah, if anything, it pushed people more into the camp of believing that Bitcoin is only popular amongst reactionaries, Russian trolls, people who deal drugs and steal people's credit card information. But, you know, the between the lines take of all this, ironically enough, is that if you want to do all those things, you shouldn't use Bitcoin. And so I don't know. That might be a zero sum game. My favorite part about this story was I don't know if you saw this, Aaron, but in the indictment, it says that they used fake names, the Russian officers, and two of the fake names are Ward DeClore and Mike Long.
There was a guy on the Russian World Cup team whose name was Zhirkov. There goes Zhirkov.
They also had a Brazilian. Like, they were running, you know, like Olympic-style stuff where they were having a Brazilian definitely. Guy who had just gotten his Russian citizenship 2 years ago who was playing for the Russian team, which, you know, we don't judge here, but, you know, certainly not Russian.
Also in the news this week, big news out of Coinbase. I kind of like took my eye off of this story. When we first got into spending way too much time on crypto, the question of what's coming to Coinbase next, nothing could have been hotter than this.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Coinbase announces that they are exploring adding 5 coins all at once.
When we first got this, this was through our Telegram channel. Like somebody, I think I posted it actually.
I got this from myself on Telegram.
Aaron,
thank you.
Please credit me next time for putting this
thanks.
In.
I'll make sure to note you as the curator.
I thought it was a joke. Like I thought it was fake or something. I couldn't figure out if it was real or not because first of all, it goes against everything they said during the disastrous Bcash launch, right? Where they said that they're going to give a lot of heads up and that they're going to try and do these things a little bit more diligently, that they didn't want to have an undue influence on the market. And in response...
But I think they are doing that. They said they were telling people because of that. They're like, we're telling our employees right now, so we're going to tell the public right now.
Yeah,
like,
but
I think they're trying to answer your criticism, but there's a weird way, no matter what they do,
my point, which is that like the idea that they don't want to have an undue influence on the market and that they want to decrease whatever footprint that they have, they don't want everyone to freak out and, you know, like kind of look towards them to make a certain decision and speculate... Right, like the opposite of that has happened. Right, they. If they were trying to figure out a way to solve this, this was not the actual solution, which was just to put out a tweet that says, "Maybe one of these 5. You know, we'll decide. We're not gonna tell you when. We're not gonna tell you what our methodology it is. But you know, just buy all 5 of these, and probably one of them will spike." I mean,
oh, see, I assumed this is interesting because I was talking to our good friend Ledger about this, and his assumption is that all 5 of them are coming to. I think, no offense to Ledger if I misunderstood him, but that all 5 are definitely going to come to Coinbase. The exploring is just legalistic language. They are like saying, these are coming to Coinbase. We're telling you at the same time as our employees. Get ready.
Well, I mean, if that is true, right, and yeah. I trust Ledger more than myself. Well, he's a very knowledgeable, smart guy. Do you really think this was just like a warning shot? It was like a flare saying, hey, next time you can't get mad at us because we sent out this tweet saying that you should think about these 5 coins.
I hate that I'm defending Coinbase right now, and I fully reserve the right to take it back out on them in the back half of the show.
Coinbase, please sponsor the show.
Please sponsor the show because I'm about to give you a very soft take here, which is like, how are they supposed to add coins? Like, are they supposed to... keep it a secret and then dump it. They've tried that. Yeah. People freaked out. Are they supposed to call their shot as early as possible, the way you would with like an NBA rule change? You know, like the way that the cap is changing.
Yeah.
They're like, in like 4 years, we're going to have this double draft with high school students. That was what this reminded me of. This reminded me of free agency day where you're like, this deal? What? And this one? All at once? Like, let me process these one at a time.
Yeah, well, I actually think that's what they should have done. I mean, I think they should do like a reality show type of thing, right? Or they should do some version of the NBA draft.
This is the kind of programming that's going to be on the like proprietary Apple platform. Always is like, which like altcoin will Coinbase add next?
But they could be a future. They could be a future sponsor. So
they should sponsor the show too
of Coin Talk TV.
I'm going to say that I read this the opposite way, and I thought. It was basically what they were asked to do before. People are definitely not going to be happy no matter what, but it was kind of a power move. It was saying like, not only can we add coins and get like yelled at, we can do this in such a way that like we're heading off any future criticism about this. And we're basically tipping our hat. We're going full Binance here. Well, like we are not going to shy away from supporting a bunch of coins, including coins that we've previously said pretty much that we would never support.
Can we just talk about what the 5 coins are?
Absolutely. It's crazy that we've gotten this far and we haven't even said what they are. So list them off. XLM, Stellar Lumens.
Yeah.
ADA.
Which is like but those two are pre-mined, huge volume
Stellar
coins
Lumens
that,
from the founder originally of Mt. Gox, then a co-founder of Ripple, left Ripple on bad terms, started Stellar Lumens.
Yeah.
Huge gains over the last year. In many ways, I thought that Coinbase had already signaled that they would never add Ripple. So I would say adding Stellar Lumens was the biggest surprise of the 5. If not Zcash, which
it was a huge win for XLM. Yeah. I mean, and once again, you and I being wrong about everything, because I think both of us probably had the experience where somebody in our personal lives, whether at work or whatever, was like into crypto, and we're like, you noob. and the things they were always into were like XLM and Tron, you know? And in the end, I think they were probably right about XLM.
No one has actually ever...
This is like a huge boon for them.
No one has actually ever shilled XLM to me. You have a slightly different work life than I do, but...
Well, not anymore, but yeah.
The other huge surprise is Zcash. I felt like there was a prevailing sentiment in crypto that was almost canon that Coinbase would never add a privacy coin.
Yeah, I believe that's
a quote from Young Kang. I mean, I guess we should have read Gemini pushing through Zcash as a sign that like Coinbase is probably going to look pretty hard at it, but I am still surprised.
Yeah, well, here's my question to you as Mr. Privacy Coin, which is, I mean, do you think that the fact that the two biggest U.S. exchanges, at least in terms of reputation, right, and backing, do you think the fact that both of them now list Zcash is meaningful?
I think it's hugely meaningful. I think that these nerdy discussions about the different privacy algorithms at play in these are, like, important, but not nearly as important as how available coins are through fiat. And the fact that you can go with a U.S. bank account and end up with Zcash, I guarantee that the next Russia hacking style crypto scandal will involve a privacy coin, and I predict it will be Zcash. Put that
really?
Put that on your Augur markets.
We'll get to that, but I don't think it will. I mean,
too academic.
I just think that Zcash, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like it. If Monero is already working for a lot of these markets, which I think that we have some evidence that it is, right? Why would you switch to the one that is, you know, in going to be higher publicity, that's going to have more scrutiny on it, and that is going that ultimately like has not really proven that it can do a massed transfer yet? You know, like I think that Monero still probably is the best out of all of these coins, and I think that actually being on two huge exchanges, having like a big guy like Zuko, who is having magazine profiles written about him, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. If I was a criminal who was trying to launder money, I think that I would stay away from that one if the other option worked, you know? Obviously, you want to pick the best one, but what's the evidence right now that that Zcash works better than
Monero?
Well,
let me give you the counterexample. Okay, so I'm a criminal. I'm selling the synthetic Heron from my Chinese supervillain laboratory. I'm in like the Philippines or somewhere, like making all kinds of crazy synthetic drugs. And I offer them for sale on some kind of a dark market. And my primary customer base is in America. I mail the packages. So someone says, hey, I want to buy X amount. And I say, great, you need to send me a payment. And they're like, do you take Bitcoin? I say, absolutely not. Why would I take Bitcoin? This transaction's going to be there forever. And you go, okay, no Bitcoin. And I say, okay, well, the best one's Monero. And they say, well, how do I buy Monero? And it's like, oh God, what, I'm going to like tell this person to like buy Bitcoin and then like get an exchange account and swapping at Monero, versus you can just get a Coinbase account. You can just get a Gemini account and buy Zcash and complete the transaction. It seems like a big advantage.
Yeah, but what if the person's like, hey, you know, that seems like a really too easy and open way. I'm putting my credit card number
But if
this
you're
thing.
Not putting it into Zcash, you're like buying the Zcash, but like the transactions on the Zcash chain are invisible. So like, I don't know.
Well, not all of them. Like,
well,
the
it's okay. It's in my instructions on my my dark web website. I'm like, make sure to check the box for like a hidden transaction. I cannot emphasize this enough. No, it's true. I agree.
No. I mean, but when you buy it, like, you know, when you buy it off the exchange, I think that probably is not a shielded transaction. If it was, you know, then that would be appealing. But I can't imagine that these companies do that, you know. But I have no idea. So,
but
I
mean,
I don't know
if Bitcoin. If Monero had the chance to be available through fiat in the U.S., don't you think they would like that? They would take that chance. Like, it's not like Monero has intention.
Yeah, because they would get richer. I'm just saying that. I'm just talking about for use. I mean, so obviously for like Zcash, it's better to be on these exchanges for Zuko and for everybody who's involved in the project. But I actually think that in the long term, it might be a deterrent for some people to use it. And also, it just seems like you have a coin that's working pretty well that is sort of have a stranglehold on these markets right now. Like you said, if the Russian operatives who were hacking into the election, if they had been around in 2018, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't use Zcash. Don't you think that they would almost certainly use Monero or even something like Verge that might be like, you know, even more like more weird and untraceable, or Dash or something like that? I just can't imagine that they would use Zcash.
I don't really know. I think you're like, we're ascribing a sophisticated customer, and I feel like there's like an American white collar crime, corruption, political bribery, shady land deal class that is not going to figure out how to set up a Verge wallet. And like, these are the people who generally do business with cash in a duffel bag. So
that's
or
true.
Like, you know, I think there's a lot of money moving on PayPal and Venmo in these kind of platforms too. Like,
we should ask Paul Manafort.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Paul Zcash.
So I just generally wonder whether the best wins or the easiest wins, and I think this is a big jump for how easy it is to do Zcash. So
okay, well,
next
okay,
three.
So, just quickly, let's go.
Next
to
one's
next
Cardano.
Three, yeah.
I'm surprised by Cardano. The biggest surprise for me for Cardano is a big time coin in terms of market cap. I believe it's a top 10 coin. Is that right?
Big, yeah. In Japan, right? One of the Bitcoin girls that we talked about, the girl,
yeah,
group.
They had,
right?
A Cardano.
Cryptocurrency,
yeah.
Girls.
So Cardano, I don't know that much, yeah, about Cardano. I don't have a ton to say about Cardano. The interesting thing to me is the Coinbase Fund, which is their like institutional investor fund, which holds an equal percentage of each coin in their portfolio based on market cap, is about to buy a lot of Cardano now. Like, Cardano is going to be a big part of that portfolio. And I always thought that one of the reasons they wouldn't want to add Ripple was that Ripple is, you know, at one point number two, now number three currency. I would think that they wouldn't want to be Ripple whales, and I'm surprised that they want to become Cardano whales.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't really understand what they're going to do with this giant Bitcoin. Like, it's essentially what they made was like the S&P 500 or Dow of crypto,
yes,
right? That is pegged to the thing, and they believe that they can control this. So maybe they saw it as a way to sort of even out their bets. You know, they said maybe we'll take a little bit of each, which does seem to be kind of what they did, right? Like, they took a privacy coin, they took Stellar Lumens, which is like a massive, massive shit coin. They took Cardano, which is another shitcoin, massive shitcoin.
These aren't
and
shit
they
coins.
Took,
these are top 10. They're prestige shit coins.
Well, I mean, by shit coin, by you and my standard, you and
coins.
Our standard of being of saying that, you know, we prefer mined coins,
yes,
to pre-mined coins, and that we don't understand what these coins do. Which has been sort of our mantra, which honestly, I feel like it's almost an old man take at this point, but I'm going to stick by it because I don't actually know what the better take is right now.
We're definitely cranky.
Like, why are these coins good?
So these are the coins, other than Zcash, I don't give a shit about Stellar Lumens, I don't give a shit about Cardano. 0x is a coin that we've both followed pretty closely, we've both held. It's a coin with,
yeah, I used to have a
very close ties to Silicon Valley. This is probably the single biggest bull sign of any of these coins to me, is I feel like this positions 0x as a potential Ethereum, like, this could go crazy. I can really like see it taking a huge jump after it gets added to Coinbase. What do you think?
Is your opinion that, like, do you have any personal stake in
that? Oh, yeah, none of this is investment advice, and I have a very tiny amount of ZRX, and I wish I had bought more. I wish I had bought ZRX before this, basically, because this is, I think,
yeah,
now
I think it's
legit, and it's already up a lot.
I think the only thing that I did well in crypto and that I got out at the right time was 0x, so I do know a little bit about it. And the argument for it was always this, right? That,
yep,
this would happen. And nobody could really explain what the currency does. People are very bullish about
it. It's actually
about
in use. And, like, it's a chain that's got...
Okay, but, I mean, It's a platform of platforms. It is like a lot of other crypto.
It's an amusement park. Can we just call these amusement park coins from now on? I feel like we need to like think. Yeah. It's an amusement park. We don't know what's going to be built.
It's an amusement park coin. And the one thing that I would say about it is that of all the things that did not seem real that were similar amusement park tokens, this one always felt real because it had backing from people who had worked at other prestigious places in Silicon Valley. Although, to be fair, like, nobody really cared what they did at those other places. It was just that they seemed more legitimate than some of the other projects that were going on because people had worked at Facebook or Apple or Google or whatever. And the argument for this was always that at some point that the establishment of crypto, which Coinbase is certainly part of, that they would sort of tag 0x and say, you know, like, you're the next one because you're the most like us. And that I do think that's what happened here. And I would agree with you that that means that this is the most bullish case for it, because if Silicon Valley is going to control crypto in some sense, which you and I think that it will, then 0x is going to be part of that future. I don't know. Is that how you read it?
I don't think Silicon Valley necessarily will. I think they will try and will burn as much money as it takes to take their best shot. And the way I read this is ultimately, I thought that Brian Armstrong was a Ethereum World fanatic. I thought he really wanted to see Ethereum World. And I think he's diversifying his bet here a little bit.
But isn't 0x is part of Ethereum World, though? It's like a Ethereum. Yeah. It's an ERC-20 token that is used to build other Ethereum-based projects,
right? I thought
that
he would just back Ethereum and let other people sort out the details. And it seems like now he's willing to bring these other ecosystems into Coinbase, which ultimately, I think, boosts them up at the expense of Ethereum itself. Although probably like these are all just intertwined economies. And in the long run, I would expect these ERC-20 tokens to move with Ethereum. And probably, just like it's better to ultimately hold Bitcoin for most people, it's probably better to just ultimately hold Ethereum if you believe in this whole Ethereum cult that's going on. I mean, the other one is also Basic Attention Token, another ERC-20 token, part of the Brave browser.
That's the fifth new one, right?
He had already tipped that he was going to add support for ERC-20 tokens, so I guess we shouldn't really be like so shocked.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess this is my last question about this to you. I don't really care if Coinbase adds these coins, and I don't think it's going to have too much effect long term, because I don't know if the trading economy that was going on around this time last year and into the new year, so for about 6 months, like, I don't know if that really exists anymore. You know, like, the volume on all of these sorts of trades and all these coins is down so much. And everything seems so pegged to Bitcoin survival in the short term. Short term meaning like the next 6-9 months or something like that. That I don't know. I even if they're on Coinbase, I don't. How many people who bought who downloaded Coinbase and bought a small amount of Bitcoin about like November of last year? How many of them are still checking the app and, you know, trying to make trades and trying to make money off of this? You know, because that's really who we're talking about that would matter for Coinbase adding this. And I don't know. I guess I just don't anecdotally know a lot of those people who are still involved in that sort of way, but I also just can see it in the volume charts. You know, it's just not
there. Well, the volume's definitely not there. And also, these bounces are not the bounces we'd expect to see with these coins getting added during a normal, happy market cycle. Like, we were seeing coins jumping 50%, like these Bitcoin Cash getting added, even, I think, this is a little bit closer to, but not quite as much of a bounce as Ethereum Classic got when it was added. So in some ways, I feel like these, like, he kind of did achieve what you described, which is like, these aren't actually trading on here and people aren't actually jumping on them. There's going to be another bump, hopefully, when they get added. But as you said, I think that's mostly going to be dependent on what Bitcoin's doing.
Yeah, like, think about last January or something, Aaron, and like, if 0x had been added to Coinbase,
I think it could double in a day.
What do you think?
I would have expected it to double.
I think it would have gone up like 400% that day. You know, like, I don't think that's crazy, because that really was the time when you would check Bittrex and there were the coins that had gone up like 940%, and you're just like, what the fuck is
part
that?
Part of that is because 0x is a little bit more mature. It's already run a bunch of times at, you know, on Bittrex and on these other exchanges. Like, it's a coin that's done very well already. So I wonder if there's not quite as much ceiling as there once was. But I think the lack of ceiling is mostly just because people are terrified because Bitcoin is trading for $6,300 right now.
None of these coins really did do huge moonshots, right? Like basic attention coins.
No, these were like, a lot of these were like 20, 25% bounces with 5, 10% retraces. So like, if you're holding them, good. Also, Zcash has always traded kind of weird. Like, Zcash has always kind of failed to take off when people thought it was really going to take off. I mean, it does trade pretty high already. I feel like the market.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have been burned
many
Zcash
times by
How
Zcash. And I guess the market's saying this isn't like enough to like really change the situation, which is crazy. It would have once been huge. Right. But the thing I was the most surprised not to see on this list was Augur.
Yeah, me too. I mean, good segue. So why were you surprised not to see Augur?
Augur is, this would be an amazing time to announce Augur because the Augur markets opened this week. And there was a lot of attention on Augur. I think it shot up to being in the top five dApps on the Ethereum network by daily volume, pretty much right out of the gate. Seems like people are pretty excited about it. When you told me about it, I definitely was like, what questions are on it? What's happening? It's the kind of project that gets your imagination going, which is sorely needed, I would say, at this point.
Yeah, and this is something we've discussed quite a bit, but it actually interfaces with the exact thing that you and I think crypto in the short term should be focused on, which is gambling. You know, gambling, prediction markets.
I'm going to amend that to the short, long, and all term, which is that's the thing people actually want to do is gamble.
Yeah, but right now, what can crypto maybe handle? What can smart contracts maybe reasonably handle? Like gambling seems like one thing, right? And so, yeah, I was a little bit surprised as well. Like, it did seem like there was a lot of hype, but then I actually took a look at some of these prediction markets that they have. So for those who don't know, a prediction market is essentially like a way of betting, and you are essentially crowdsourcing an opinion, and you can bet for or against that as the line moves up or down. And so, for example, if you think that, like, leading up to the election, basically, if you thought that Donald Trump was going to win, you could go on a prediction market and you could put a bet in, but you would get amazing odds because Hillary Clinton's chances of winning were valued somewhere around, I think, like 92 cents to the dollar. So maybe it's a little bit less than that, but it's like an odds maker essentially.
Yeah. And it plays into the general crypto world belief that smart open markets can answer any question and can efficiently find the perfect line, and that if we just open ourselves up to them, we can almost read the future. I mean, people actually believe that we'd be able to predict terrorism and events like that through a prediction market.
Yeah, well, that's how it started. It was prediction market started because DARPA decided to create a prediction market, and their only question was, where will the next terrorist attack be? And their belief was that somebody would eventually be financially incentivized enough to put a lot of money into the place where they knew it was going to be, and that it would be some sort of tail end to like what was actually going to happen. That obviously was stopped for several ethical reasons. But prediction markets are pretty easy to find now. I mean, you can find all sorts of them here that you can do legally in the United States. So it's not like Augur is a particularly new idea, but it supposedly was going to get around the biggest problem of prediction markets, which is that, it is gambling, and so it's illegal. And so all prediction markets in the United States have to basically have an .edu address. They have to have some sort of affiliation with a university. It's like, do you remember when you would like go to a place and they would ask you to use your student ID, or like there are certain deals that you have to set up where you have to have a .edu address? Like, that's kind of what a prediction market is like. It needs to have some tie to a university. And also, the charge on these things is insane. Like, so to withdraw money, I think that they have like a 5 to 10% chop out of the money that you try and withdraw out of a prediction market, which kind of kills your odds immediately. So they're very hard to win.
There's one other major difference between a traditional prediction market and this, which is that users themselves can set any question into.
Yeah, there are versions of that that exist, but they're not legal. So like the decentralization of this kind of makes it better in the sense that you can bet almost anything. Like, you know, Aaron, you and I could have made an Augur prediction market that was like, will this podcast recording take over an hour or something like that? And the
right. I mean, we'd have to find a taker on the other side for it to actually create a contract.
Well, but, I mean, you and I could both take opposite
oh,
sides.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And then you just start grandstanding and try and push it over an hour. Yeah.
And you would be like, I actually have the button that makes this stop
I'd be
recording.
Like, oh, can't hear you. Talk later. Bye. There's a few things that like surprised me. I mean, when you go on it, there's not actually a way to access it unless you're, I believe, running an Ethereum node or you can run the software for it. But someone made a web GUI for it. What is it? Something like global.predictions?
Predictions.global.
Predictions.global. So this allows you to visualize the biggest bets on the Augur network.
Yeah. So I'm going to read a few of them to you. Have you looked at the percentages of these?
Yeah, the line seemed really wrong.
Yeah. So for example, the first one is, will the price of Ethereum exceed $500 but at the end of 2018? 52% say yes, and that there's 72,000 at stake.
Yeah.
Then there are ones that you would expect that are actually more exciting, like World Cup final, France versus Croatia, the result after 90 minutes. Augur predicts that 50% France wins. I mean, it's a terrible line.
Okay, so let's pause here because you're a more experienced gambler than I am.
Yeah.
So the first thing that looks fishy there is that would suggest that France and Croatia have even odds. And every line I saw in any kind of a sports book has France heavily favored.
Yeah, France was heavily favored. And so if you are a smart bettor, then what you will do is you will bang France on this line because you're getting a much better price.
Right.
So what that indicates is two things. The first is that it's kind of exciting, which is that you can get in on early betting and you can profit from it, right? But the thing that is more concerning is that the second that you and I and everybody else who has seen the actual line bangs France on this, the line adjusts, you know, as it's supposed to. And so,
right, but aren't you locked into the line that when you bet?
Yeah, you are. But I mean, the line changes for the next person, like the handicap shifts. And so,
right. And it should get better and better over time.
It should get closer and closer to the real odds. But the weird thing is that this, like, it just didn't shift at all, which means that either nobody is using this and nobody actually made these bets, although it says that $27,000 are at stake, or it means that something's broken, you know, and that it's not just reflecting anything.
Even though this is a top 5 D app, when they actually show the volume, the daily volume used, there's only like 330 addresses or something like that that are being used. So this is not a large enough pool to get anywhere close to real lines, especially like with the like sort of like weird like crypto-ish questions, which I'm like, will Ethereum exceed $500? I'm like, it does suggest a pretty crazy future in which you can create futures on anything, on any coin, on any in any crypto position by asking and letting it like zero in here. But it seems like we need thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of bettors to really get full coverage enough to be accurate for most of these questions, because there would be a lot of questions at that point also.
Yeah, well, there's two theories about this. Both the first is that you are right in that things need a certain volume. But for specific questions that get no volume, for example, not who will win the World Cup, but something like, you know, like the number 4 question here, which is, will MedCredits release Hippocrates Medical App on Ethereum mainnet by October 15th, 2018? Shockingly, Augur predicts that 85% say yes, right? So what does that tell you? It just tells you that somebody who is involved in the MedCredits Hippocrates Medical App created this market and put all the money on it for some reason, right? Hoping that someone would take the other side so that they could profit off of it. So in that way, that is more telling because you can almost certainly trace it to somebody who's involved with that market. But I would say that something like France or the popular ones, like will Donald Trump be the president in 2021? Like those types of things, you need some sort of volume for it to be interesting at all.
Well, the final two, the number 29 and number 30 questions are, will Donald Trump be impeached before the end of his first term? 30% yes. Will Donald Trump complete his first term as president of the USA? 90% yes. These things are not even like being matched with each other. So look, this is in a very rudimentary state. I almost feel goofy trying to critique it because it's obviously not fully working yet. And I think that the developers, Joey Krug, who's behind it, was like, yeah, there's like some problems. Like, what do you expect? Like, you know, this is like a... This is a rough launch, you know? Like,
this stuff doesn't really work. There yet. Are tons of things that launch that launch better than this. My favorite one is number 11, which is will the rep token being the, I believe that is the currency of Augur, right? Will rep token trade above $32 at the end of 2018? Augur predicts 90% yes. I mean, this is a, I will just say this, that this is, I as a gambler, as somebody who likes prediction markets, as somebody who is into crypto and would rather use Ethereum to bet, honestly, than giving my credit card over to any number of shady offshore places, this is exciting, but man, this is not like, it's not a good launch. You know, like it could have gone a lot better.
So you're a gambling man. Well known, it's discussed on this show. Now, as I understand it, all of these bets are paid out in Ethereum. So despite REP being the token of Augur, these bets, I assume that you put Ethereum into escrow, and then at the end of these terms, which like in the case of the World Cup would be today, in the case of that Donald Trump question would be in a couple years, there is a system which users vote on which side was right using the REP tokens as some sort of a staking.
Wait,
and
really?
Figures out which is right. And yeah, that's how it works. And then pays out.
Oh, so like basically you have to use a REP token to vote on whether or not something that happened?
Yeah, and then you like earn REP by like saying the right one. So it's almost like 51%ing.
But who audits whether or not it's the right one?
Well, it's like the majority of users. More and more users vote on it to get like, and like it like figures out using some sort of a smart way. I don't really know. But the part that was surprising me is I had always thought I'm a rep holder. I've held a little bit of rep. That rep would in some ways be used in the settlement. I was completely wrong. The settlement is all in Ethereum, which is for real and will probably be worth more in the 2 years or in the five, you know, in the long run, as these bets play out. Would it make sense for us, and I mean you, because you're the gambler among us, to go and hunt and peck and find some of these ridiculous lines and lay a little Ethereum on it? Especially if they're ones that are going to resolve fairly quickly.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't think that it would be wise to do a lot because we don't know what the future of the project is. So the biggest problem with betting really on anything strange or anything exotic is that it's hard to get your money paid out, you know? And so there are all sorts of books out there that advertise better VIGs than other books, but at some point you're more willing to pay like an extra 2% because you're confident that you'll get paid out than saving the 2% and not knowing what the hell the thing you put your credit card
in. Well, I would certainly be worried when I see will Serena Williams win the Wimbledon 2018 women's tournament and it says ends in 21 hours.
Yeah.
That's already resolved. So I'd be a little bit worried about weird after hours, but I don't quite understand how this stuff works. That said, looking at some of these lines, if you did go bold and bet on them, you could make a pretty good amount of money.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I just feel like I think a small controlled about is probably the right way to go about it and just hope that Augur works and that eventually these kinks are sort of fixed. And I actually think that they will be. Like, I think that this product will probably work eventually. I just think that at this point, sort of going around, hunting around with Ethereum. And also, apparently, one of the problems here is that to, you know, make the transaction work, you have to pay gas, which is like the Ethereum, you know, kind of tax to make something happen. Apparently, the gas fees are pretty high. And so you might actually do better just going to a normal prediction market, you know, because depending on the gas that you're basically paying as a tax into every single bet, it might actually be worse value than just going to a established prediction market that you know at least you'll get paid out on.
Yeah, but these lines are just radically wacky. Like, okay, for instance, will Ethereum trade above $500 in July 2018? So that's the next 2 weeks, more or less. That means, and the line is 75% yes. That means to take
what's Ethereum at right now?
It's at like $400 and something dollars. Yeah. It's not that close. It's like, here, I'm going to look it up right now. Right now, Ethereum is trading at 449. So that's saying that you can give me 4 to 1 that Ethereum won't go up $50 in the next 2 weeks. I'll take that. Take that in a second.
Yeah, I would take
very
that
good.
Too.
It's like, that's on. Fantastic.
Actually, you've convinced me. Let's do that.
Yeah, let's just go grab some Ethereum off of people. That's fantastic.
How do we? Isn't it impossible to get money into these markets though? I mean, you and I do
know,
not.
Have,
we don't.
We
run
haven't
an
tried.
Ethereum node. Do we run an Ethereum? Do you run an Ethereum?
Yeah. Okay.
Node?
If you're listening to the show and you can set us up an Ethereum node so we can take some of these bets. I think we should go through and cherry pick the worst bets here. I also think, will the REP token trade above $32 at the end of 2018? 90% yes. That means to take no, which is basically just that it's going to go down in the rest of 2018, is 10 to 1. I'll take it.
Yeah, I would take that too. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, actually, you've convinced me. But I don't have any Ethereum. But, so
I've
it's
got some
take,
Ethereum.
It's going to take me like 2 days to figure all this out, but maybe we should do it. Let's do it. Let's do it and see what happens for the next show.
Look, if you're listening to the show, send us an email and tell us how you can help us make some of these bets. They're not financial advice. In fact, we're saying that they are terrible bets, which is why we want to take them. I think we want to get in while it's early on some of these. I feel like this is like the rare Pepe cards. You know, the first people to buy in get a good one, then they sell them to the next sucker down the line. Because that's another thing you can do with Augur is you can lay a bet and then sell that bet to someone else.
Well, yeah, that's how prediction market works that way, in which like you get it at 50 and then it moves to 90. And then you could sell at 90, right? Like you can,
yes.
You can sort of take your profits whenever you want, which I think is
cool. I feel like we should scoop up some of these Trump to win second term bets and then just resell them in few weeks for more.
I mean, I think he's going to win again. So what side would we take?
I don't even care which side. Like I'm going to look at whatever the line is and I'll take whatever like the obviously better side is. Like for instance, will Donald Trump complete his first term as a president of the United USA? Augur predicts 90% yes. That's 10 to 1 that he doesn't. I don't know if I like that, actually.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to finish his first term, don't you?
Yeah. No, not definitely. I mean, if you give me 100 to 1, I'm all over it.
Yeah, but 10 to 1 is not 100 to 1.
I'm just saying. There's a point in some of these. I would just cherry pick the lines
to
look
off. Let's actually
and the
do
longer
this.
Term one.
I mean, I do not want to buy Ethereum, but maybe I'll borrow some of your Ethereum
there's,
and do it.
So there's, I want to say that there's a, so you can post one of these you can post one of these questions without actually putting up money, and then other people can put money into it. So if you go far enough down, you start seeing the questions that no one has put money on. Here's number 42. Will Warren Buffett die by the end of 2019?
Ooh.
See, the other thing we
I don't
do
want
is
to answer that.
Lay some uneven ones here and just see, and then try and stake our spot on some of these. Like, no one has bet yet on who will win the next Super Bowl.
I see an answer on that, which is Eagles.
Some of these are double posted too.
Yeah. I see, like, one that has no money. Will Chelsea win the English Premier League in 2018-2019? And there's no money in any of that. So, like, I don't know. It seems like there are questions that have answers that are already, you know, that already have betting answers. Like that, for example, you could definitely go see what Chelsea's actual odds are. And you can bet it both ways, and you can see which way it swings, and you can get in and you can get out. And so, in some ways, that's attractive in the sense that you have a very, very virgin prediction market that you can manipulate. But at the same time, I don't know if you and I are the sharks to do that. You know, we might be the ones who are getting taken advantage of. But yeah, I don't know. This is interesting. Maybe we should have Doug on. We should tell Doug that we
want
to do
Doug
this
on.
And have Doug do it too.
I say that we put like one Ethereum in on the behalf of the show and just buy up whatever the dumbest contracts we can on here.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, cool. Well, talk soon.
Yeah, all right. Talk to you soon.
See you later.
This episode of Coin Talk was taped Sunday, July 15th at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Bitcoin price index was $6,366.
And that was Coin Talk. Thanks very much for listening. Sorry, there's a little break between those two shows there. We do vacation. Jay and I vacation. Our editor is James Nicholson. Our partners are over there at Medium. You can find us, including transcripts of every show, at medium.com/cointalk. You can send us an email, hi@cointalk.show. We're going to do a mailbag soon. Tell us what we should be gambling on Augur. Tell us what you're excited about, what coins are entering into your bags, or why you have gone full Bitcoin maximalist. All that good stuff coming up soon. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Yo!